there is, as I'm to understand, a movement now to deliberate about the coming together of the two groups, if I'm not mistaken. There is some discussion already in place. So
it is 12 noon. This is WBAI 99.5 FM, Pacifica Radio from New York City.
I'd like to. I have contacted the chair of this LAB, and she has not responded. She was asked to come give a report. She responded to you that she was not coming. She did not even suggest giving a report. I politely asked, would you like me to give the report for you? She did not respond to me. I have one of the local advisory board members who said that he has resigned from the board and do not contact him ever again, and I'm not sure which board he's resigned from. That was Barney Goodman. So there is just not communication with those people. They just do not respond. I've sent an email to all of them, and they're absolutely, you know, literate and capable to responding to email, and they have not responded. So, and did they respond to you at all, Leslie, about giving a report to them?
No. Okay, I have Marion, David, Pete, and then let's see again. We have a motion on the floor, so we really
let me ask Teresa, does your motion envision the interim board recognizing the new interim board, lab board, as a legitimate lab from Houston?
As I've stated my resolution, we're directing the general manager to facilitate. I'm sure the people of the interim LAB would apply. Whether the current LAB person at board would accept them, I don't know, because I've been in the process where they have rejected people.
So we're directing that the interim general manager make an effort to bring the lab into compliance, which could mean having new elections and having new outreach for the lab board.
Not elections. We would like
participation.
Right.
Expanded participation.
Yes, I don't think their nominating committee is meeting right now. So hopefully with this interim general manager directing them and facilitating that process, hopefully that would happen. Now, that nobody's made an amendment or anything to use the terminology merge with the ILAB.
Okay. So your manager would then be directed to bring the lab into compliance by increasing the participation and opening the meetings up and letting them elect new officers, et cetera, right?
Yes.
It would not mean a merger.
But it could mean a merger.
Well,
it wouldn't rule out a merger.
Well, I think the animosity is too great between the four or five people that's already there and the new people who are trying to reform it. So why don't we just let the general manager expand that process, and the number of people who have been active in the interim board will certainly outnumber those four or five people, and so you, in effect, would have a new lab, right?
Can you repeat that? Your last one, please.
Perhaps, folks, let me just get us back on order here. David was next, and then Pete. Okay, so can we get David and Pete? And I'm being flooded with notes. That's fine. I love all the notes, folks, but I have to pay attention to the meeting. So a hold the notes, okay? David. My problem will be...
Mike seven. Devin's up.
Yeah, hi, this is David Furtick again from the Los Angeles, or I should say Southern California Local Advisory Board. Unique to Houston, I think that this absolute non-cooperation from the Local Advisory Board to perform its tasks does require direct instructions, not suggestions or urgings or hopes. I don't think that we should be telling them who to put on, but we should be telling them to do their job or move aside. There are plenty that are willing to do it. It should be a hard job. It is. It's a lot of work. And if they are unable to get up to speed in terms of the size, the diversity, the commitment to the Pacifica mission, and to the work that needs to be performed, then they should be decertified. However, that's a very serious step for Pacifica to take, because it should be a local issue. And when there is a station manager in Houston that is interested in growing the mission and the lab and the project of the station there, I hope and trust that will happen, but we cannot wait. And I would urge that the maker of the motion consider amending it to include the terms that the lab is required to obtain numerical qualification, that is at least 12 members, within 30 days of people that represent diversity in all scopes and a demonstrated commitment to the mission of Pacifica. And that the I would also like to hear or suggest language that the current members of the local advisory board also be asked to consider if they feel that they are willing to perform the work. Thank you.
Okay, the maker of the motion can modify her motion without any process, you know, involving the rest of us. You're free to do that if you want to.
Okay. The second part of my resolution, where it says the PNB directs the interim general manager to require the LAB to bring their numbers into compliance with Pacifica policies within 30 days, to meet immediately and regularly. What's immediately?
Right.
And to bring the people of the community who are interested in serving the station during the transition. Do you want me to say within 30 days again? Ago, David? Did you want me to say within 30 days again?
I think we have the possibility of helping Houston move more quickly.
Okay.
And within 1 week.
Okay.
The community willing and ready to serve that could be reached out to. Okay, I'm sorry. Pete wasn't trying to speak. I'm sorry, I jumped out of order here.
Pete Ramson from Northern California. I would suggest very strongly that the local area board and the interim board merge. I am very sensitive to the fact that it would be a directive from the national board, but I feel very strongly that those two groups could get together and seek and obtain resolution just like the national board did.
Madam Chair,
I guess I'm still seeking autonomy for the local lab. And the concern I have centers around the fact that those of us who are on both this board and the local boards would invade the autonomy of the local board in Texas. The fact is, we're saying that we want this local board to be able to function autonomously, but yet we have folks on the board from other lab areas or other listening areas who are dictating, and they're on the local board. We as local board members on this board should not be making a decision about what happens in a local board in Texas. And that's a real concern about autonomy.
Teresa?
Yes.
George, would you accept a friendly amendment calling for a merger?
Can you modify the language of your motion that would include merger?
Resolved that whereas Houston LAB has 4 to 6 members currently and through a pattern of behavior repeatedly violates the Pacifica mission statement, the PNB directs the are you proposing that we direct the interim general manager to mandate a merger, or that we directly mandate a merger? What are you thinking, George?
I don't know.
Okay, Rob.
Let me make a suggestion. Are we directed, or we have him directed?
Okay, Rob,
Let me make a suggestion. Would it be appropriate for this body to recommend to the chair of the lab that because they are currently out of compliance, because there is another group of people that wants to participate and has attempted to participate, that we are recommending to them that they take immediate action within the next week to get together and the two groups vote themselves in as the new lab? If they don't do it, then we have to do something else. But we can recommend that they go forward and do that. And that way we don't...
Is that, Teresa, is that acceptable? As the maker of the motion, Teresa, is that acceptable to modify your language to incorporate what Rob just said?
I think that sounds good. I'd like to go over the wording of that again.
Okay.
That sounds fair to me.
Okay. Okay, he's going to read this again or say this again.
The Pacifica National Board recommends to the chairman of the KPFT Local Advisory Board that because they are currently not in compliance with the Local Advisory Board policies, that they get together and have a meeting within the next week with the individuals from the other individuals that have been trying to work with the lab, and that those two groups hold an election and elect themselves, all of them, the new lab. But we're not telling her what to do. We're not trying to usurp her authority. We are recommending that because the conditions of noncompliance exist, this would be a way for them to come into compliance without doing violence to anybody's rights.
Okay.
Call the question.
Okay, was this...
Call the question.
Call the question.
Madam Chair.
Do we have a second?
Call the question.
Okay. We're calling the question.
You've got somebody right here who's doing it.
Come over here. Come over here.
Point of procedure.
One second. Excuse me. I'm consulting with the parliamentarian. Just please 1 second. Okay. Okay. My understanding that by Berkeley's calling the question, we're basically moving the motion. We want to take action on the motion. And we need a second to do that.
I'll second the motion.
And it requires a two-thirds vote to do that.
Madam Chairperson, no amount of order, but could we ask the other group if they accept this proposal? The group is here now.
They're nodding their heads, yes.
Is that all right with you all? Okay.
Yes, but nothing is debatable once we have...
Okay,
so let's get back to order. Let's get back to order and raise our hands.
Point of order. I just want to hear...
Are we going to... I raised a question. It takes precedent over. It has been seconded. It's seconded. We're now supposed to be getting a two-thirds majority for that, and either voting on it or not voting. And then he can say whatever he wants to say.
I would like to agree with Bert. I would very much like to agree with Bert.
I know it's hard for you to do that.
Shabari, please. All we're doing now is voting on whether or not to vote on the motion.
That's
what it means, that we're ready to vote on the motion. If we're not, then we have more discussion. Then we would call on you, Jabari. So all in favor of moving the motion, that is that we're ready to move to a vote. All in favor, please raise your hand. Okay. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 10 yes, all opposed to calling the question. 1. And abstentions. 1. So now we move directly to the vote of the motion.
Can we repeat the motion?
Yes, we can. And who is going to repeat the motion? Is it Teresa or Rob?
I have what I think is the motion.
Okay.
Can I read it?
Yes, please.
Be it resolved that whereas Houston LAB is existing under conditions of noncompliance of the Pacifica Mission, that we recommend, the PNB recommends that Houston LAB and Houston ILAB meet within 1 week to hold elections. Is Is there more, Rob?
Sorry for the confusion here.
The KPFD Local Advisory Board is in noncompliance with the bylaws and the guidelines governing local advisory boards. And we are recommending to the chair of that board that that chair and the other Houston listeners that have been attempting to work with the local advisory board as the local advisory board get together and vote all of themselves, the whole universe of current and proposed members, to become the new Houston Local Advisory Board. That way,
That is the motion.
Good.
Okay, now we go to vote on it. Can we do this by a show of hands again? Or should we do a roll call vote on this?
1 week.
Yes, I'm sorry, it within 1 week was in there too. And we're going to take a roll call, but you have the list? Okay. Yeah, let me call.
I'm Teresa Allen.
Okay, Teresa Allen.
Yes.
George Barnstone.
Yes.
Marion Barry.
Yes.
Peter Bramson.
Yes.
Janice K. Bryant.
Yes.
James Ferguson.
I vote no with... this is an illegal process.
Okay. So noted. James Ferguson voted no with a observation that it's an illegal process. David Ferdig.
Yes, with observations.
Yes, with observations. Bert Lee.
Yes, with reservations.
Yes, with reservations. Okay, Rob Robinson.
Yes.
Carol Spooner.
Yes.
Jabari Zakia.
Yes.
And myself, Leslie Kagan. Yes. Yes. Vote with a noted concern. That carries. Can we move on then?
Yes.
Thank you. We are running obviously late, but I would like to move the. I would like to keep going. I would like to get to the next station report. And the next station report is WPFW. Excuse me, folks. Hang on. We're doing good. We'll get through this. And the station manager will open. That's Lou Hankins, who's here with us today, to be followed by the chair of the local advisory board, Sam Hussein. So Lou Hankins has the floor. Thank you, Lou.
WPFW. Great station. Thank you very much. My name is Lou Hankins. I am the acting station manager and program director of WPFW in Washington.
Please.
What is this?
Just let
what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait a minute.
Hold on 1 second, please. I really want to say this as clearly as I can. Let him speak. Please do not interrupt him. Please do no catcalling, no hissing, no nothing. Just let Luke give his presentation. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm going to wait a minute and let them finish taking the flashes because I have the reason I wear these glasses is my eyes are light sensitive. And they're standing right here flashing. So I'm letting them flash so that then I can read my statement.
Okay, no more flashes. Thank you. Thanks, Lou.
In response to your request to give an overview and profile of the present situation of the station, you asked that we do this both verbally and in writing. And I hope that all the board members have looked at my presentation in the board book. So what I'm going to do, I think the best way to do it is just to start right there and read what is in the board book. It says that WPFW is celebrating its 25th and greatest year as a public radio station in the nation's capital. We began on a high note in October with an extraordinary community event which showcased the multicultural spirit of the station in addition to generating close to $20,000 to boot. 3 months and 2 weeks into the fiscal year, we have already raised $511,560. That is close to the annual projected budget of $1.109,724. That excludes the grants for the station.
The pro rata for this year requires that we collect $277,431 by the end of the first quarter, that quarter ending on 12/31/01. To date, we are tracking ahead of projections by 45%, or $233,979. Our first quarter expenses are way under budget allotment as a result of open staff positions. So overall, this means that the station is doing very, very well financially. In regards to ratings, WPFW is poised to go off the chart. The last book, the Summer Metro book, shows WPFW with 170,500 listeners in the metro area alone. If the book follows the historic pattern, we are projecting the CUME, that's the cumulative audience, to close to 200,000 listeners in the total market for the upcoming survey. This projection is substantiated by the graph below, which demonstrates the patterns of the fall and spring in relationship with the winter and summer books. I'd just like to make a little mention here because I didn't want to go into it too deeply into it because it took too much. But in the book, I noticed that you have also a chart showing the demographics, WPFW's listeners, and demographic listening that appears in your book like this. Okay? This is from Audiographics. Okay? And while this is a great tool for understanding where your listenership is, it is not an up-to-date measuring point because the numbers here are derived from two books and not necessarily the two consecutive books. They skip and based on where their survey is coming from. This represents the metro area. Some stations that have greater effect on than others. W has a great effect due to the fact that Washington, D.C. has a very small metropolitan area. So when we only measure our metropolitan area, it does not really measure our listening area. Okay? The numbers that I'm using come out of Radio Research, which has used the raw figures from Arbitron as they arrive on the monthly basis. To continue on, our metro figures have never been higher, even though that I'm speaking about the metro figures. We are also enjoying a 55-45 ratio of men to women, respectively, with 53% of our audience being people of color. Basically, W is showing an increase in every time slot, both weekday and weekends. A more substantiated reflection of our listeners' increase lies in our revenue growth. We had a whopping 5,474 members pledged in support of programming in the October 2001 drive, the most ever in a single drive history of the 25 years at WPFW. That also shows an increase of 800 to 850 supporters over the same drive last year. It is advised that evaluation be made of W's current lease. With the expiration of the agreement only a few short years away, the process of selecting a new facility must begin soon. This year has found WPFW realizing its mission statement with more vigor as it celebrates 25 years. While jazz is our principal mix, the infusion of other underexposed music genres, such as blues, Latin, world, zydeco, old school, is integral. Our news and information continues to represent the core of our identity. We provide over 60 newscasts of different lengths and focus per week, and we have 24 public affair programs. Keeping true to our mission, we provide 25 opportunities for the average listener to make an on-air comment on a weekly basis. As for this particular time, WPFW is a microcosm of voices that comprise the Washington metropolitan community. That's on the board book, and that gives a very good overview of it. If I had one more thing to say, I would say in reference to this, the most difficult thing facing W at this time is the commingling of funds. We are, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit in answer to Mr. Burr's question, but the commingling of funds, be it on purpose or indirectly, we are in the building with two other units of Pacifica. We have a small operation, a very small operation. We have no paid on-air staff, but we have helped support other units of Pacifica, which is okay. But when we look at our budget and our budgeting process, it distorts our true figure, our true picture. For example, in the reviewing of the financial statements that was provided to us by Ms. Jackson, and going over the general ledger, we see where W's rent
doubled from June of this year to present time. We went from 3,000 something to 6,000 something. Well, once a close investigation of it, that's because we're paying for the additional space that was acquired by Pacifica. But we have monies in our budget, in our general ledger line now, for lawyers' fees that W had no engaging of. There's nothing wrong with that except for when looking at the problems of W, because down the road it then prohibits us from doing something else that we might have done, because in our budget line it appears that we're over. Simple things as commingling of postage, commingling of phone lines, commingling of utilities. Maybe it's a small thing, but on a larger scale, it does have a difficulty, especially in a time when W is doing so well in all points. In reference to, there's a couple of things.
What would you recommend on that in that area?
What I recommend on that area? I would recommend that there be some kind of clear definition. What happened, this happened not on purpose. This happened as sort of a easing in. A little bit happened here, a little bit happened there. You know, you come into the system and we got 10 phones. You don't have any. So we got 12 phones so that you could have a couple of phones. We have a postage machine. You don't have any. Well, you really don't have one now, so you use our postage machine. There's no problem with that. We have the lease on the building. It is W's lease. Well, you wanted additional space. How do you get it? Well, you couldn't strike another lease. It's too costly. You added on to W, but then when it was time to pay the lease, W paid the lease. And I don't think that this was no mean-spirited attempt, but the clarity of it has to be much more clearly defined. And things that we share, we should know up front. We're sharing these things instead of finding out afterwards. I'm just saying, as far as the healthiness of W. But at the same time, still keeping in mind we're all one family, and so we're not trying to deny anyone of Pacifica, but anything. You was going to say something, Mr. Lee?
Yeah. Could you break out what those costs are? I mean, in other words, what you feel you have paid, you know, over the last year or the last 6 months or some period of time. Not right this second, but I'm saying, could you get that to the treasurer and to the finance office to let them know what you feel, you know, has come out of your budget that was paid for Pacifica National Office expenses?
I've already started that process, and yes, I do have that. And I plan to put it in writing. Okay, that's just one of the other things is that one of the things that W is very, very proud of is, and while it's on a very small scale, it is very proud of, is that we have attempted to reach out to work with the other stations in some form or fashion. While September 11 was a very sad day, I have to reemphasize that I think it was one of the brightest days for what a station and a network could do together when PFW and WBAI were simulcasting together live, able to. And I want to thank those, I did this before, but I want to thank those from the News and Public Affairs at WBAI for responding to our request. We were able to go on the air live in New York, and they were on live in Washington. And while the events unfold, we were able to talk back and forth with that with both the volunteer staff. Also, I'm going to move now to a little bit of the question of Mr. Berry this morning about how we understand the funding. Do I still have time? How we understand the funding. Just what Jim said earlier, only one of the stations, as my understanding, have their own books. In other words, able to write checks. All of the stations receive their revenue from many different forms, not just on the air. They all go into Pacifica accounts, and the Pacifica bills, the bills of the stations are paid by Pacifica. So thus, Pacifica has autonomy over the bills, over the revenue at all times. Now, the financial statements gives us a clear picture of what bills have been paid and what revenue comes in. But as a station manager, I always know what revenue is generated and what revenue is in. What I do not know until I get a financial statement is what has been spent. But in the same process, during this last period of time, when there was no payroll money and there was money in Pacifica, money was moved to pay payroll, which was only natural. But according to the financial statement, I will eventually see how that happens. But we don't have check writing abilities. That's my understanding.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks a lot, Lou. If we could move to the report from the chair of the LAB, Sam Saney, who's here.
Madam Chair, he has not given the recommendations on how you deal with that, though. We'd ask also that you give recommendations if you want to change that process.
You said, want to change the process?
Yeah, you said you get the...
What do you mean on the
report after the fact?
Mm-hmm.
And would you like another process to make it easier for you?
No, I don't think there's a necessary for another process. I do think there needs to be a closer monitoring of the process that we have. Maybe I left that piece out. The approval of budgets, see, the budget approval process has slowed down. The stations would present a budget, and then it was approved by the Finance Committee, and then you work within that budget. When you come back, you had a chance to ask the Finance Committee to adjustment if you needed more money or if you wanted less. With that in mind, if you operate with inside your budget, because it also breaks out, you know, development people, the operating people, if you spend your money, you spend your money, and as long as you don't go over, we stay within plans. I don't think it's a necessary, I just think the budget approval process needs to be reinforced.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Sam Husseini.
Thank you. Sam Husseini from the Washington, D.C. area. I'm chair of the Local Advisory Board for WPFW. I'd like to begin by reading a series of resolutions that the WPFW Local Advisory Board passed at its meeting on Wednesday. I passed them out to the board members here. Whereas these are resolutions that the WPFW Local Advisory Board just passed. Whereas the station manager of WPFW has displayed abundantly unprofessional behavior, has shown a lack of respect for listeners, has censored programming, has rebuffed innumerable efforts on the part of the local advisory board to form a dialogue and to move the station and the network forward to serve the listener members with crucial information, has continued to ignore critical events happening in the nation's capital and indeed around the world, station manager must be suspended, and new management dedicated to the peace and justice mission of the Pacific Island. Must be put in place as quickly as possible. This Monday, WPFW again censored its Democracy Now! Broadcast. From its Democracy Now! Broadcast, critical history of the Pacifica struggle. WPFW must finally stop censoring Democracy Now! Just to clarify...
WBAI, Pacifica Radio, New York City.
Thank you.
Just to clarify, they didn't censor the whole broadcast. They merely continued the cat and mouse game of censoring portions of Democracy Now! That they find objectionable. There must be a regular uncensored forum on WPFW where the lab can address and listen to the members and other listeners to ensure regular dialogue. The lab must be able to meet at this station. Lab meetings must be prominently announced on the station's air, including community needs assessment meetings. There is currently no regular news program on WPFW. There should be extensive local news on WPFW. WPFW does not systematically promote progressive events. As a matter of fact, it lately has been playing tribute to the CIA on one of its on-air cards. Events such as the IMF World Bank protests, the inauguration protests, the protests around September 11th, anti-war protests there, and the upcoming Black Voices for Peace events around around Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday in Washington, D.C., should be heavily promoted and covered by WPFW on a regular basis. WPFW should have an extensive internship program that reaches out to youth and other underserved populations in the Washington area, which trains them in media skills. In addition to those banned and fired at other stations, most obviously WBAI, many programs have been banned and fired at WPFW. Just a note of information, this process has been going on at WPFW over a much longer and more complex period of time, but it's been exceedingly systematic. Recently banned fired programmers must be allowed to return, notably CC Madupe Fadupe, former host of African Perspectives, producer Fahim Nasek and host brother Robert Northern. Additionally, national programs such as Fair's Counterspin, hosted by Janine Jackson, have been purged and must be restored. PNN, all of the resolutions thus far have had to do directly with WPFW, two national things which have a particular interest for WPFW. PNN does not regularly cover in a probing way the news of the world as Democracy Now!, for example, does. Its reporters rarely go to news conferences at the White House, State Department, Pentagon, etc., and ask the tough questions. Pacifica must have a major news infrastructure that does real muckraking in Washington, D.C. The interim Pacific National Board must create the structures to ensure that the executive director follows the directives of the National Board. That might be subsumed by recent events. That last note is a call to begin, obviously, a structure of accountability between board, local advisory board, staff, and so on. I'd like to additionally note, we recently, many of these resolutions came out of the sentiments of the local advisory board, but they also had their deep foundation in community needs assessment meetings and reports that the PFW board did. It held a series of community needs assessment meetings during the winter of 2000 to 2001. The two issues which were of greatest concern by far to those submitting their responses to the lab's assessment survey were, one, the need for, quote, locally produced reporting on issues of community concern, and two, more public affairs programming generally. This provides a significant piece of evidence, obviously, in favor of the lab's resolutions that I just stated. Secondly, in support of the resolution concerning covering protests, IMF World Bank protests, inauguration protests, and upcoming Black Voices for Peace events, the assessment survey asked, quote, what kinds of programming would you like to hear more of on WPFW? After the two priorities already mentioned above, the next highest priority specified by those responding to the survey was, quote, news on demonstrations / activism / progressive movements. How am I on time, shall I ask?
If you could.
I can certainly end it there.
Okay, thank you. There are several, thank you, three people from the Washington community signed up to, in this
session. Chairperson, before they speak,
okay.
I'd like to ask them, what's the composition of Washington Lab? How many people on it?
14
many people. You know what I mean? And secondly, at the time that these resolutions, these discussions were going on, was Mr. Hankins invited?
You're tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. We're going to be interrupting the program for a minute to make some technical adjustments.
This is Nancy Rodriguez. I'd like to welcome you to join me every Sunday from 2 to 4 for Ritmo con H on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City and WBAI.org on the net. Thank you.
This is WBAI-FM in New York.
I played a piece, John Cage's, called WBAI. And so for me, WBAI is fixed in my mind as being a kind of progressive, intelligent, on-the-ball, witty area of broadcasting. And I guess certainly the conversation we've had just now seems to confirm that probably is the case.
This is Richard Belzer. Since the 1960s, when I wanted to be really informed, aside from the mainstream, I listened to WBAI. I got war news, I got news on the civil rights movement, I got copy from news sources that weren't generally used by the mainstream in America that helped educate me and shape my thoughts, and I hope that you contribute and listen to this station because it's an important part of what America was supposed to be all about. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ben Gillette of Penn & Teller, and you're listening to WBAI, listener-supported radio.
New York City.
Hi, this is Tony Bennett.
WBAI.
WBAI FM.
The soundtrack of New York City.
now back to the Pacifica board meeting.
Is folks, we need to put aside our differences because this is a crucial time. It's the best of times and the worst of times. We must come together. The struggle continues. Hotel.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, folks. Folks. Okay, everyone, thanks. It would really be great. I'd really appreciate it if people could hold that stuff down. I know you needed to do that. Fine, but we need to move along. There's one other person from Washington, Frank Wagner. Frank, I really want to ask, we let the previous speaker go on a little longer, if you could keep it really short.
Okay, thank you, Leslie. My name is Frank Wagner. I'm from the WPFW Local Advisory Board. And the first thing I'd like to say is that in my two-plus years of being involved in this struggle, I am so grateful and just so happy that for once we are meeting in a union hall, the symbol of the working man and the oppressed people of the world, instead of the DoubleTree Hotel, the symbol of corporate capitalism. And, you know, this is just awesome to me because when I joined this struggle, it really looked dark and bleak and black, and it looked really scary. When Mary Frances Berry ran this board like a Nazi and a fascist, and now... You know, we have some power here. It's really just really encouraging, and I'm really happy about this, and I'm really glad to see we've made some changes. And the first thing I'd like to say is, besides that, is that, you know, what I don't want to go over anything that anybody else has already said, but you know, Lou Hankins threw us out of the station almost 2 years ago. And when we asked why we were not allowed to meet in the station, he said that there were security reasons. And we said, well, what are the security reasons? And he said, well, they're being investigated, and he'll get back to us. But Lou Hankins and everybody in that...
As you just heard, apparently the chair of the Interim National Pacifica Board finds it appropriate to have a black woman described as a Nazi. My sense was earlier in this meeting, she said such ad hominem attacks, would not be permitted. Why is it permissible? I would ask. Yes, I'm going to talk over this guy, absolutely. Why is it permissible on the part of this fellow, and most particularly since Leslie Kagan is supposed to be running the meeting, why is it permissible? Why is it permissible for a black woman to be described as a Nazi without the board chair even suggesting anything?
Leslie Kagan, at this point, It is germane. The whole discussion from WPFW was cut off from 12:35 to 12:50. No one in the New York area heard it.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I was listening. Music played for the whole discussion. But this is going on right now.
You took as much time as you took.
That's all I'm saying.
I didn't know it.
And now the discussion is...
Janice, the point was made. Marion.
Since Janice K. Bryant feels privileged to make that statement, we would also note that the reason music was being played was because an adjustment was being made in the feed so that the broadcast would be clearer to our listeners. A number of listeners called and said they could not hear the feed clearly. We attempted to make adjustments in that. Grayson Challenger from our station, an engineer, went to the hall, 305 West 44th Street, in order to make the broadcast clearer for the listeners. Janice K. Bryant, since you understand so little about what's going on, perhaps it's appropriate to try and explain that to you. Although for a board member, I'll leave that alone for the present. But the fact is, it was stated again, the reason we were off the air for that particular period of time was because we were making a technical adjustment because of listener calls asking if anything could be done to improve the quality of sound. I will say once again, however, it's very interesting that Janice K. Bryant has no objection to a black woman being described as a Nazi right in front of her. Perhaps Janice K. Bryant doesn't know what a Nazi is.
As a board or members of a board to suggest to the station manager and the chair of the LAB that they get together over today and that they come back tomorrow, and at some point we give them 3 to 5 minutes to sort of just share with us what they were able to come to some agreement on or not to come to some agreement on. Is that too much to ask?
This board instructed me at the beginning of this year.
No, I didn't ask you.
No.
I didn't ask you.
No. The question is, well, can we... Right.
It's
a question to the board.
Yeah.
Will we offer that instruction?
I'm saying, I'm trying to do something that moves us forward.
I hear.
Okay, everybody has given their version of what did or didn't happen. I'm just asking a simple thing.
Okay.
Could we as a board or members of the board, however we do it, just ask the two of them to get together over today and to have a discussion, and to come back and share with us that discussion tomorrow in a 3 to 5 minute presentation. Is that too much to ask?
Carol, no.
No?
No. Carol? Please.
Having just heard your suggestion, I, of course, don't think that's too much to ask. That's a very small thing. But what I think may be too much to ask of is that in a discussion sometime over a 24-hour period, that years-long grievances and bad feeling and both sides of the story at all five of our stations, including KPFA, between the local boards and the station managers and how communication goes back and forth, and what the status of the local boards is, if they disagree with the management of the station or the executive director of the foundation and the direction they're going. I think this hostility has tremendous depth to it, and that it's the responsibility of this board to get to the bottom of the fundamental question of the direction of Pacifica before we ask our station managers and lab chairs to work it out for us.
Carol, I respectfully disagree with you on that. All I'm saying is that we have, over the last 24 hours, heard from the LAB chair, we've heard from the station manager, we've heard from listeners, etc. And all I'm asking is that the two of them get together, you know, over the next, you know, 12 to 24 hours, and that they come back and just give a report 3 to 5 minutes, no more than that, but just sort of say, I agree, you can't resolve everything in the past, but it's just a way to get this started and to move. Everyone says that they're interested in trying to move forward. This is just a way to begin to start moving forward. They aren't going to resolve everything, but it's a start. And it's something that would be that is being supported by the board, and the same thing it could happen with the other stations too. Maybe we could ask them to do it. That's all.
Okay, I know.
Sam, would you agree to
Ray
that?
Wanted to speak on this. Ray,
Sam, would you agree to that?
Ray has the floor.
Yeah, Ray LaForest, New York. Maybe what Carol is expressing here is what I'm feeling, is that both her and I come from the labs, and that our experience has been one of being disrespected. I can tell you that the WBI lab met at the station since December 2000 only once to hear a lecture from the station manager, and that we have